Blog Talk Radio.
Of What's Happening, Blog Talk Radio, and tonight is Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, and our theme this evening is Eyes Are on the Wrong Ball. It's not the big balloon in the sky. What about homelessness? What about joblessness? What about the opiate epidemics? What about the COVID epidemics? Food insecurities, mayoral control of public education, no national health care, and on and on and on. Tonight, we're going to focus on the right ball. And we want to remind you that this is an analysis of colonialism. Everybody on our program is dedicated to the overthrow of fascism and the installation of a just society. And because of that, we support our political prisoners. And tonight we have an emergency situation involving our comrade Kamal Siddiqui. And I'm opening up Sister Anne's mic so that she can give us that emergency. And then we're going to go to our regular broadcast. Anne Lamb of New York City Jericho, your mic is open.
Thank you so much, Sister Betty. Yes, this is an urgent call that we just received today from Kamal's daughter, Kasise, once again facing a medical crisis due to medical neglect. Kamal has not received his blood pressure medication, which is called amlodipine, in 4 days. And he's at high risk for a heart attack and or stroke without this medication. So we're asking people to call the Augusta State Medical Prison Administrative Office. I wouldn't say today because they're not going to be answering their phone at this time of night, but tomorrow for sure. The number is, please write it down, folk, and it's also up on jerichony.org, and it's about to be posted on the jerichomovement.com. The number is 706-855-4700. I will repeat that number, 706-855-4700. And the other thing is to make sure you say you are calling for, even though his name is officially Kamal Siddiqui, they insist upon calling him Freddie Hilton. So you're calling for Freddie Hilton, and his number is 00115-0688. And as I say, all this information is on jerichony.org. You can go there. Our sister Naima Bandeli just put together a beautiful little flyer with all the information, including his name, his number, what the situation is, and the phone number to call. So people, please make sure tomorrow that you call. I would say call early, call often. We also have some attorneys and medical personnel calling, so that will be also help. But, you know, not to give somebody their medication in 4 days is just, you know, unconscionable. So really, folks, we want to say what's the call, free them all. We need to keep them alive before that so we can get them out of there, which we've been trying to do with Kamau. So once again, 706-855-4700. You're calling regarding Freddie Hilton, number 00011150688. Don't expect everybody to remember that, but it's up on the website. Once again, jerichony.org. You'll see the link right on the first page. Just click on it, and it will take you to this lovely little flyer. And you can make those phone calls. So please do that. It is really, really important. Thank you so much, Sister Betty.
No, we're coming back to you, Ann, but we wanted to get that out right away. We've all been through this before. We went through it with Brother Akoli. We're going through it with Mamia. We went through it with Sister Lynn. It is because of the nature of the political prisoner that we are going through this, and let's not be surprised. Let's not fooled. If they were just ordinary criminals, they would have some form of medicine by now. Most of them would be home by now. Okay.
Yes. But absolutely, they would be
home. But like I said, Sister Ann, thank you. We will be getting back to you. We want to hear your thoughts on the transitional homecoming memorial for our Frank Belgara. But at this point, Brother Ralph, what's happening?
Well, thank you so much for that, Sister Betty. And understand, as we go through the motions of keeping our eye on the ball, I will go there, begin with that big ball in the sky that you have seen so much news about, but that's totally irrelevant. And if we want to talk about spying and spy networks, I'm going to talk about my favorite spy. And my favorite spy was a slave who worked in Jefferson Davis's house. She was a house servant with a photographic memory. And you know what the punishment for spying was and is. In those days, the South, it was instant hanging, instant death. And she risked that, giving folks in the North, army in the North, constant information, very exact because of her photographic memory, about what the South, the Confederacy, was planning, where they were going. And so spying, power against power, is a way of life. And yet they get us looking at some dumb balloon in the sky, forgetting about American intrusion on Chinese space, forgetting about the Mayaguez incident during the Korean War when the spy ship off the Vietnam War, excuse me, during the Vietnam War, and when the spy ship off of Korean waters was captured by Korean soldiers, sailors, and all, and I'll never forget the answer of the Koreans when they said, "You're not messing with a little country like Vietnam, you're messing with us. We've got your ship and your people, come and get them." Spying. And the United States worked it out, and they finally got the ship back. They got the soldiers and sailors back. They got the ship back, minus all the spy equipment that was on it. So this is the way it is. But we have things down here on the ground that we must deal with. Homelessness to begin with. And there's a whole list, joblessness, opioid epidemics, COVID epidemics, food insecurity, miseducation, getting rid of the gains that were made during Reconstruction, public education, getting rid of that, wiping it off the map in black communities, those communities that brought us public education. And we all know how important that is in a democracy, but where's the democracy? It is not here, surely, but we must keep our eye on the real ball, and I wonder how these issues come up. You know, community control of the police. Hey, are you crazy? We are in a colony. The colonists don't turn their armies over to the people that the armies are there to terrorize. We just looked at Vietnam. Can you imagine America turning the army over to the Vietnamese? No, the Vietnamese took it the way freedom is taken. Nothing has changed, and we must stop following this nonsense. And I have to speak along with talking about community control of the police, the reparationists. Well, let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, they're stealing from us every day. We look at the major issues of where they're stealing. Jackson, Mississippi, that's water, the essence of life. And we see they're taking the money from the infrastructure on the water in Jackson, Mississippi. But that's just one. They didn't start that yesterday. They're also taking the money from that was sent to the so-called black colleges, and they're transferring it to the white colleges. And we know about the black tax we're going to have. There are women who wrote 3 books on the black tax. We know about that. Subprime loans. And it goes on and on. You drive your car down the street, you're subject to a black tax. In the black neighborhood, if your inspection goes out, and I could go on throughout this program about the things that are happening to us every day. And remember, the thing that we always talk about is the Black Lives Matter. Well, more people were killed after Black Lives Matter than before Black Lives Matter. Do you understand what the issues are? We are working towards an institution that deals with the colonial status of the people of color in America. And I remember way back in 1962 when I first met Queen Mother Moore, and at a meeting after I had spoken, and she called me aside and says, remember, young man, I was young in 62, that you're dealing with a question of colonialism, and we, the people of color, are merely a colony within continental United States. But the rules of colonialism are the same wherever there's colonialism. Gave me a new perspective as to what we were fighting and how to fight it, and we're working on it. We talk about free and political prisoners, but we get back to our program this evening with the wonderful poetry of Professor Louie in honor of our dear sister Lynn, whose departure is coming upon us soon, the date of her departure. And so, Professor Louie, you lit us up last week. You woke us up. You wake us up every week. You educate us. You entertain us. And it is unfair for us to ask you to continue to do so, but we are in great need of Professor Louie. Your microphone is open. Thank you.
All right. Step right up and get your drugs. They'll bite your butt just like bed bugs, waste you sure as shotgun slugs, slick billionaires and greaseball thugs. Nobody likes drugs. Crackheads and freaks run with the gun all out in the streets, throw them in jail. No mail, no bail, but in the chism of the prison there's dope for sale. And down in the boardroom on Wall Street, the corporate executives meet and greet, and each one chose $1,000 clothes, $1,000 cocaine up in the nose, pandemic, epidemic, cut neat and sweet. Coke in the boardroom, crack in the street, rock and powder, having a ball. And when your eyes get wise, that ain't all. Crystal meth, amphetamine, goofballs and benzedrine, oxycontin and morphine, heroin and codeine, uppers, downers, and in between. The same for the machos and the queens. Brain down the drain, nerve cells gone to rust. Ecstasy and angel dust, it all helps keep the poor people in line. And if you got the money, you never do the time. Stumble and fall up against the wall. I know you like your alcohol. It can make you sick and make you sicker. Wine is fine, but liquor is quicker. Never fear that beer that's near all day long. TV commercial sings you a song. The beautiful people are never wrong. But when you walk, you don't know where you're walking. When you talk, you don't know how you're talking. When you pay, you don't know what you're paying. When you lay down, you don't know who you're laying with. Come home at night, got half your eyesight, and make and take a drink to keep from having a fight. Ignore your sweetheart and your kid. What you did is legal, so you keep it all hid. Wine, beer, or that gin and tonic, you're fried, even if you're not alcoholic. And some folk, for a joke, take a toke and smoke some pot. If the law's gonna ignore, really, so what? Unwind your mind to brand new places. It might leave some spaces if there's no traces left. Just a space cadet, and you ain't seen nothing yet. Hash, mescaline, LSD. War, check the leaves up in the tree. Mushrooms, psilocybin, front to back. That's a train on the railroad track. See you around, Jack. I hope you come back. You might touch the other world. That might be true, and you just might be keeping the pain off of you. Did you gain awareness of the higher power, or just blow your mind every other hour? Now, tobacco smoke is not a joke, unless, of course, you want to croak. For a long time down the line, we had an excuse. The tobacco companies hid the truth. But on the back of the pack, now you got the answer. You're lighting up emphysema and cancer. Expensive pipe for the professor in tweed. Chewing tobacco for the man in need. Big, big cigar for the big, big boss. Cheap little stogie for the guy who lost. Roll your own if you can't pay the cost. Cigarettes for everyone up and down the street. That dream of nicotine instead of food to eat. You got the word from the top. That's poison you got. Your lungs are gonna rot before you stop. Stone cold addicts, and no one calls a cop. Now, methadone and amphetamine got another little brother called caffeine. It gives you a bolt or that jolt you need. On the street, they just call it speed. Caffeine in your coffee every day, at the diner or the cafe latte. Caffeine in your energy power drink soda. Caffeine right there in your Coca-Cola. Caffeine so working people pay their bills. Caffeine for students with their no-dose pills. Caffeine to keep you moving no matter what your ills. Caffeine with no one saying speed kills. Everything around us, the whole scene, runs hard on your nervous system and runs on caffeine. And the last biggest drugs we didn't talk about yet, you can bet They're the easiest ones to get. Tell the doctor you feel bad or sad or mad or way too glad, no matter your condition, no matter your description. For money, honey, someone will write the prescription. Prozac, Zoloft, Risperdal, Ambien, Miltown, Phenobarbital, Zyprexa, Valium, Wellbutrin, Lexapro, Haldol, and Ritalin, Paxil, Chloral Hydrate, Zadrine, Librium, Xanax, and Thorazine. Forget your high hopes, forget your fears. Straight up, you're doped up all over the years. On the street, it's a crime all of the time. But when you get to the doctor, it's just fine. The flood in your blood is exactly the same. But now the drug company gave it a name. Cut to the bone and bring it all home. Heroin's the same thing as methadone. Call one the problem, call one the cure. Depends who's making money, that's for sure. You take them all when you feel down. That sounds like drugs, or how does that sound? And if your prescription don't come around, you can cop on the corner all over town. Now, the gift of the world is a beautiful thing. Winter, summer, fall, and spring, the children grow before our eyes. The endless sighs of the endless skies, stars in the dark, flowers in the park, the leaves, the branches, and the bark. The miracle revealed in every way, and I hear you say, you need something to get through the day. Horrible, miserable conditions today. Chase them, face them, or they never go away. From the people on the bottom to the ones up above, it's hard to say you're healthy if you use drugs. Hazy, crazy, guilty, and back for more. You might be taking in the disease instead of the cure. Sick and shaken on bathroom rugs. It's lonely to only solve the problem with drugs on street corners or in nightclubs. Champagne glasses or coffee mugs. A little bitty taste or a chug of love. The empty face, the shoulders shrug. Nothing left to save and the grave is dug. You can't put no plugs in leaky jugs. You traded in all your kisses and hugs to resolve to solve the problem with drugs. They'll bite your butt just like bed bugs. Waste you sure as shotgun slugs. Step right up and get your drugs.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Professor Louis. We're sitting here with big smiles on our face, being educated and entertained as only the Professor Louis can do week after week after week. We got to get this out to the people. We got to get this out to the people so that they can smile, laugh, and learn. Thank you again, Professor Louis. And this program is archived. You can tune it in and listen to it again at your heart's desire. Sister Betty.
Well, we are trying to contact a special speaker who agreed to get on. We want to talk about what's happening in Mississippi. It has been horrendous. I believe the mayor, Chuck Way Lumumba, said that it's colonial. He said it is a colonial power taking over our city. It is plantation politics. And he highlighted the latest where they are trying to take over, I think it's the $600 million allocation from the federal government exclusively for the city water system. And we are in the, we will be getting back to you, but in the meantime, I'm going to have Mr. Pointer take it up from here in terms of what's happening in Jackson, Mississippi, because it's not just Mississippi where this crisis occurred. You remember the NYSHA housing problem at the Jacob Riis housing
in New York.
In New York City when they had arsenic in their water. So I am turning the mic over to Brother Ralph, and we're going to contact our guest speaker. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for that, Sister Betty. And the struggle continues. And Jackson, Mississippi is merely a continuation of what happened after Reconstruction. Reconstruction, you remember that? When slavery was supposedly over, when black folk, the ex-captives, the ex-slaves, had worked out to have a decent society while it was taken away. And anti-reconstruction has continued ever since. Politics of the Southland. Colonialism, as Queen Mother Moore said it, and before that people said it, colonialism, because they said and defined what they saw. And we are deep in the heart of the colonial administrators, and we have a guest right now who told us first about the water. That was Reverend Edward Pinckney from Benton Harbor. Because he was there, he told us what was happening. They put him in jail. He got out, and he continued the struggle. So I think when we talk about water, we have to go to the experts on water. Reverend Edward Pinckney, your microphone is open.
Ralph, Betty, it is a pleasure and an honor to be on this phone call with you guys. I tell you, it's been a real struggle and a real battle, but the reason why we don't really get anywhere, we don't understand the method that we're dealing with. We don't understand the system that we're dealing with. Because in order for us to be successful, Ralph, we have to know what we're doing, because they always think we don't know what we're doing. Let me tell you how Benton Harbor got this thing done. One of the things we did, we tested the water. We sent it out to the University of Michigan Biological Lab, had it tested, and it came back with more than 300 parts per billion of lead in the water. From there, we formed the Benton Harbor Community Water Council, and we decided that we was going to do something. Everything you can think of done to us, but we stood in fault. One of the things that we did, we filed a petition with the EPA blaming the governor for the problem. See, that was a heavy move, because most of the time black people are afraid to attack white folks. And I'm not afraid to attack white folks. Ralph, my job is to make them do right. And that's what we did. When we filed that petition with the EPA blaming the governor, we didn't blame the EPA, even though they had a part in it. We blamed the governor, and we went at her like a pit bull. We was all over her. And then here's the catcher part. This is the part that Jackson needs to know. They need to file a petition telling them to put them on notice that you plan to file a class action lawsuit. And that's how you deal with them, because they're afraid to let the world know that, you know, that really the black community is like a third world country. And people
exactly.
don't even know that. And how they mistreat us, how they put black people in a position to mistreat us. And it's always like that. But the key is you got to have a plan. And what the Benton Harbor Community Water Council did, I had a plan. I laid it out to my people, the council, and we executed the plan. And I was going to be the person up front in case they came after somebody, they would come after me. Because I can
handle
them. They don't scare me, Ralph. They don't intimidate me, Ralph. You see, that's how you have to deal with white folks.
I want to interrupt you here for a second and remind everybody, when they came after Reverend Pinckney, they came with tanks down the block where he lived. They came with a tank, and all he did was to circulate a referendum to recall a corrupt black politician. That shows you how dangerous it is when you go after the flunkies in their colonial control over you. I'm sorry, Reverend Pinckney, but I think it's most important for people to understand we are at war here.
And I'm smiling broadly, and I remember visiting Reverend Pinckney, and he couldn't come out of his front yard. He couldn't cross the line of the sidewalk to say hello. He had to stay right there. This is how they hated Reverend Pinckney for telling the truth. And he also went to the death camps. the worst one in Michigan. They call it the Upper Peninsula. That's like the American or the Michigan form of the Russian, what did you call it, the Gulag, where it was cold and where the worst criminals were and where they hoped that these worst criminals would kill him. But that's your story, Reverend Pinckney. I'm telling it when you finish it. Carry on with the solution.
Absolutely. And here's the thing that, you know, people got to remember. When you have contaminated water, it's no accident that most of the black communities have contaminated water. You see, but most of the time, black people are too busy doing other things to understand how serious contaminated lead water is. And they also, most of the water have bacteria in it that nobody really cares. But it was fortunate for me that I had the knowledge to know what to do and how to fight these devils, because these are real devils. They're real straight-up devils, and they will kill you and don't even care. They'll send a black person out to kill you. That's how it operates. But look, this is what I want to say to Jackson. You have to file a petition with the EPA and tell them and map out the problem and tell them exactly what you want to do. That's what I did. I took time out. You know what? It took me over 3 months to put this program together. But that's not a lot of time to save people's lives. So it took me 3 months to file this petition, call a press conference, get people from all over the world to join the press conference, even during the pandemic. People from the UK, France, Italy, all of them was on this press conference. And they all was coming to listen to me talk. And what I did, I gave it to them. I didn't hold them up. You know, I told them that they was killing, they purposely killing black people. And that's what really got their attention. And by me saying all that, I got everybody, I got the EPA, Joe Biden office, the EPA, all of them down to the governor's office, moving like never before. And here's the good news behind all this. We was delivering water, and I'm still, even tomorrow, I'm going to be delivering water this week, 3 days a week, 3 days out of the five. We go door to door and deliver people water, make sure they have clean, safe water. But then black folks, it's hard to deal with them because they believe white folks. The white folks telling them that the water is now good, the water is not good. But they still, but they believe white folks. And we got 99% of all the pipes, all the lead pipes in the city of Benton Harbor is completed. 99%. And that's the work of Reverend Pinckney and the Benton Harbor Community Council, because we didn't hold them up. And every day I would call a meeting with these guys, and they'd be mad as hell. They you know, because I would call a meeting and tell them that we're going to have a meeting at 4, and all of them would be on there, from Joe Biden's office to the governor's office. They'd all be on there because they wanted to hear what I had to say, because I don't hold people up. I give them the truth, whether they like it or not. I don't care whether you're black or white, you know. And you black folks who want to be like these white folks, hurting black folks, I'll come after you too. So you don't scare me. You know, I'm not afraid. But we're going to continue doing what we need to do, right? This is so important. But here's the thing. I have talked to the people in Jackson. They contacted me. And I told them, I said, look, and see they're not going to file that petition because that petition is bad, is a bad boy. You tell me you want some action. You file that petition with Joe Biden office, you'll see the governor talking about releasing that $600,000. I told them. Also, I told them you should not be standing in line requesting bottled water. They should be delivering door to door to every single resident in Jackson. If they have to bring out the National Guards to do it, they should be doing that. You see, but you have to make them. They're not going to do it because you just want them to do it. You have to make them do it. And there are going to be consequences. They sent two state troopers to my house trying to intimidate me. But when they left my house, they left here with their tail between their legs because they didn't intimidate me. So we, the people in Jackson, I have spoken to them in reference to this. I'm telling them But you got to be able to take a bullet because they're coming. When they come, white folks don't like to see black folks making a fool out of them in front of the world. They don't like that. And the whole world was watching and listening to us. Right now, every chance, every news media I was on talking about this, they want to hear what I had to say. And I didn't hold them up. I called a spade a spade. I even called this old lousy Muslim mayor we got. He's a low-life scumbag. Get on TV. They said, where did that boy come from? If I had a magic wand, I'd end this. I never heard nothing that stupid. But he's the mayor. You know, that's a title more than anything else. But we have to make sure. I'm telling the people in Jackson, Mississippi, file that petition with the EPA. File it. I don't care what they're doing. They, you know, they got $600,000 that belongs to you. File that petition. They can't stop you from getting that $600 million if you do what you're supposed to do. Black people are intimidated by white folks. They're so scared of white folks, oh, they going to come after us. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing you ever heard. When you fight, if you're going to be in there fighting, you may as well go all the way, you know. But we have, you know, black people only tough when it comes to other black people. Just by looking at them, they will kill you. You know, what you looking at? And then you got this white foot all up your butt, and you ain't saying a mumbling word. So that's what we have to do. When you talk to people in Jackson, you tell them, file that petition. They know about it. File that petition. Everybody knows about this petition we filed. Then lay out your plan, what you want done. I said that we should have been able to complete these lead pipes in 6 months. They did it in 18 months. I can't be mad. But the point is, I said 6 months. So you can't take no victory lap, you know. Don't take no victory lap because you didn't complete the mission in the time you should have. Because New Jersey, now they had 22,000 lead pipes. They did theirs in 18 months. We only had 4,000. So there's no excuse for this. But the point is, somebody has to say it. Black people are so afraid of these white folks. These white devils, they're everywhere. And they will come after you. I'm expecting a little music from them again. They coming, but I'm ready for them. But the thing is, we got to do what we got. When you talk to people in Jackson, two things I want you to tell them. One, tell them to bring the National Guard to deliver water door to door. That's important. That's one of the most important things. And number two, file that petition with the EPA. Do it now, you see. But you got to have guts, though. If you don't have guts, you better go on and put your head in the sand because it don't mean nothing. You got to have guts because they coming after you, you know. And the key is you got to know what you're talking about when you talk to them, you see. If they find any loophole or any weakness in your program, they will do everything in their power to destroy you. They did everything they could to me, you know, and I just rolled the punch. They thought I was Muhammad Ali. Yeah, I was, look, hey, Ralph, I was doing the okey-doke on them. He rolled it open on us. I was giving it to him like never before. And they couldn't see a black man with that much intelligence to withstand them with all their power, all their money. Black people, we don't do that. We run and hide. We don't stand up and do what needs to be. That's why I classified Benton Harbor one of the dumbest cities here in the whole nation. The people here, I said, how do you let give you contaminated water for 4 years and you say nothing and you know the water is bad? How do you do that? If you don't love yourself, love your children. You see what I'm saying? And that's why I'm out here fighting. I'm not fighting for these old dogs. I'm fighting for the children. I'm going to make sure that their minds be solid. And that's what I fight for. And you got something for me, bring it on, you know. I'm willing to accept it because it's not about a Reverend Pinkney. It's not about the Benton Harbor Community Water Council. It's about our children and the future of our children. And I want to say this thing. I don't know how much time you want to give me because I'm in the U.S. Supreme Court and the Michigan Supreme Court over my case where they sent me to prison with no such charge. Never before in the history of mankind You won't find any case law on this where a person was sent to prison when there was no such charge at all. And here's what they said. The Court of Appeals said that there was no constitutional violation for sending me with no such charge. They said that in the state court and the federal court. But the U.S. Supreme Court is talking differently. They said it got to be a violation. You cannot send a person to prison with no when there's no such charge. You can't do it. But if you don't have the resources to fight back, they'll get away with it. I've been fortunate to have the resources to fight back to win this battle. You see, right now, the first black person you will ever see in the U.S. Supreme Court and the Michigan State Supreme Court. Never, they said, never happened before. That's what they said. It could be done, but it never happened before. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited because, you know, I come to fight. There's never been a fight I didn't like. And and that's why I'm here. I'm doing the thing. And I don't care what they say and what they think about me. I care if they try to throw mud on me. I don't care about this. Only thing I care about is that we change the law for my black brothers and sisters.
Thanks again for that, Reverend. And the reason why I asked you to come on the program was to get to the truth. Someone who has been there, who has done that, done it successfully, so there's nothing else for me to say after that. Reverend Pinckney, my brother, the honorable soldier who stood up and is still standing and still fighting. Jackson, listen to the Reverend and do what has to be done. Next caller. Thank you, Reverend. Love you. See you soon.
Hey, love y'all too. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys, I love y'all to death. Take care of yourselves.
All right. You take care. Okay,
just
Sister Betty.
To complete this segment, I want to give thanks to Ann at the New York City Jericho for forwarding this article on the lawmakers attempting takeover of funds for the Jackson Water System, federal manager warns. And what this article is referring to is Senate Bill 2889, which was introduced in January. And the legislation, if passed, would create a new regional water authority to oversee the system's water, sewer, and drainage systems. The governor and the lieutenant governor would appoint, and hear this, the majority of the board. Here we go again. Sounds like mayoral control of public education to me. And so from my point of view, how can you say you're going to get reparations when you can't stop them from stealing money that's been allocated in $600 million greenbacks for a crisis of survival where you live? And on that, we will simply say, New York City, can you spell Jacob Riis housing? What is Eric Adams' solution to this problem? Has anybody heard yet? Yeah, we all know what happens when they create another board or authority to oversee. We've got these authorities, the transit authorities. We got them. And there is no oversight. We have no control over what they do with the money. And this is why we call it a colony. This is colonial control 101. Without further ado, we're going to continue. We want to thank Ann Lamb for putting that article out far and wide on New York City Jericho. The article that I'm referencing is from Nick Juden, the Mississippi Free Press, and it was sent out February 3rd. To continue, we're going to open up the mic of our next speaker and see if they wanted to continue discussing this or go on to another topic. And caller, when your mic is open, please say where you're calling from and what issue it is you want to address. Okay, 7785, did you want to make any comments? 7785, on any.
Yes, let me make a quick comment. As a long-held former political prisoner, the information that we got just earlier about Kamal Siddiqui and the prison withholding absolutely life-necessary medications, the blood pressure medications, for over 4 days now. And the call was made, and Sister Ann made the call that people should call the prison tomorrow. She gave the number, and she gave Siddiqui's the name that prison uses for him, Fred Hilton. Let me just point out that things. One, I mean, Brother Ralph often talks about the death camps. The death camps, people are dying in these prisons all the time. One of the ways they die is because of the horrible lack of medical care and attention. And here we have a brother that's been prescribed the medication, a necessary life-sustaining medication, and they've been denying him now for 4 days, not giving it to him. And then the next thing will be, oh, yeah, this prisoner died, number such and such, and that's the end of it. I mean, that's how easily it can be done. On the other hand, when phone calls come into a prison from, you know, around the state or around the country, and individuals just calling up with concrete and real information about the deadly withholding of medication, in this case for Brother Kamal, because they have to log in every call that's made. So I'm just saying the same thing that was said before. Take the time. They might put you on hold. It might take you 10, 15, 20 minutes to actually talk to somebody, but take the time to do this. Doing that actually can and certainly hopefully will save the brother's life. They'll give him the medication. I mean, we're not talking about some kind of, you know, major heart operation or something. We're just talking about medication they've been giving him and that he needs, and if they withhold it much longer, he will die. So please, listeners, comrades, brothers and sisters, make that call tomorrow. And I want to leave it at that then.
Well, thank you, my brother. Here's somebody who has been there for some 30-odd years and understands execution by lack of medical care. That's what they do to our political prisoners and worse. Understand, when we talk about political prisoners and death camps, we are telling the truth. Execution by lack of medical care. And we can make that phone call, and we do have the right to vote, and we must stop paying political slavery. We must demand the freedom of our political prisoners before we vote for anyone for anything. Thank you for that, my brother. Sister Betty.
All right, we're going to our next speaker. Brother Hagen, did you want to say a few words this evening?
Yes, thank you, Brother Ralph and Sister Betty. I'd like to share with you a report developed by the National Lawyers Guild in 2010, and it's about the policing of political speech, written by Heidi Boghossian. And as I read, I like you to, as I read the excerpts from a report issued by the National Lawyers Guild, as I'm reading it, I'd like for you to consider what happened on January 6, 2021, and also keep in mind the past and recent police killings, etc., too numerous to mention, as a backdrop to these excerpts. This is an introduction. To know that the United States is undergoing a highly orchestrated curtailment of personal and political liberties, one need not look further than police treatment of protesters in the streets. Those who speak out against the government policies increasingly face many of the same types of weaponry used by the United States government in military operations. Demonstration at national special security events and other mass assemblies of the last decade have met with a widespread police actions, many of them in violation of the law, aimed at stopping dissent in its tracks. Offensive rather than defensive measures such as use of less lethal munitions on passive crowds, pre-event raids of homes and meeting places of organizers, confiscation of journalists' cameras, video equipment, and recorded images, unlawful containment of crowds, and mass arrests without probable cause typify modern policing of protesters. Such aggressive actions violate fundamental free speech rights and undermine the concepts of a democratic society. Police preparation for mass assemblies routinely involve infiltration and spying on activist groups, sometimes years in advance, including the use of agents provocateurs. Time and time again, millions of dollars have been obtained by police departments for personnel and equipment at large events, justified by confidential informant testimony that large numbers of anarchists are planning to attend and engage in violence. Closer examination of the facts often reveals the falsity of such allegations. Numerous police informants, many with criminal backgrounds, admit when later questioned that activist groups they infiltrated never planned any violent activities. Indeed, millions more have spent paying damages to demonstrators victimized by these tactics. New anti-terrorism legislation and prosecution practices have resulted in individuals being charged with conspiracy to riot merely by virtue of having helped organizations organize a protest at which other individuals unknown to them were arrested. As evidence of conspiracy to riot, the government cites such First Amendment protected activities as attending meetings, writing about protests, organizing protests, and engaging in rhetorical or politically charged speech. Faulty intelligence gathering and grossly attenuated criminal charges are accompanied by additional strategies to quell dissent. Asserting the need to defend against terrorism and protect national security, the government targets leaders of social and political movements, employs grand juries to search for evidence for political affiliations, stigmatizes groups of activists, and uses the mass media to denigrate demonstrators, reinforce negative stereotypes, or publicize high-profile arrests on charges which are frequently later dropped for lack of evidence. And it goes on, but it's a very comprehensive report put out by the National Lawyers Guild. I'm sure Ralph has great experience with this group. Same thing with Sister Betty. But it's important to realize that dissent in this country is being criminalized when, in fact, it should be the opposite. And I want to just leave it at that point.
Okay, thank you so much for that. And is that the same Heidi Boghossian who, with Michael Smith, every Monday had a program, 9 a.m., called Law and Disorder, which was so educational, I had said publicly that program should be a part of a college course to understand what's happening in America. But they changed that program. I assume that's the same Heidi Boghossian.
Indeed it is, Brother Ralph. Heidi Boghossian, okay. That's absolutely. But, edited by Jamie Monroe.
Let's get on to our next guest. Thank you so much, Henry Higgins.
All right. 0072, did you want to make a few comments? Your mic is open.
No, sister, all power to the people. I'm just listening to a beautiful program and loving it. You know?
All right. 8812, did you want to make a comment? 8812, did you want to make a comment? Last four digits.
Not really, Sister Betty, Brother Ralph, free the land, everybody. Sister Fatima in Miami, just listening in as well. And it's
Thanks.
A tremendous program. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
I
you so much.
I got on late. Not get the phone number to call for Brother Kamau Siddiqui?
Yes, well, let me repeat it for you. 706.
Do
you have a pen?
Yes, sir.
855-4700. And use the name Freddie Hilton and get these numbers, 000-1150-688, and it'll also be on the Jericho website. Hope you got that. Call us if you did not. Sister Betty, thank you.
All right, I'm moving right along because of our guest speaker. We don't want to leave anyone out today. All right. 3036, did you want to make a comment?
Howard, Queen Mother. I'm just listening tonight. I'm getting all that powerful energy y'all got coming out.
Thank you so much for that. Mr. Betty, go on to the next speaker.
All right. I hope I didn't call this one already. 9518. 9518. All right, we're going to move on. Yes.
Greetings, Comrade Betty and Comrade Ralph. As always, it's really a pleasure to have you all presenting this show to us. But I just wanted to state, water is a necessity in our lives, and knowledge is power. So I'm so thankful for the Reverend educating the community, and most importantly, fighting for that changes that need to take change for the water system that that is killing out our people. So I'm thankful for that Reverend for sharing and educating and fighting for our people in that community. Thank you, Reverend.
Thank you. That was Reverend Edward Pinckney. Continue, Sister Betty.
Benton Harbor,
Michigan.
And I want to say, Mama Uba, the similarities between what they're doing in Mississippi, what they did in Flint, Michigan, and what they tried to do in Benton Harbor is they tried to take the control away from the community, just as the mayor of New York took away the control of our public school system from the parents and community in New York. There is an exact parallel between those two situations.
And the interesting part of that is they are taking away, they have taken away, and black people fought for years to control their community, and they are extending that control, that parent control of education that the white community always enjoyed to a greater extent to the decision as to what education really is, what facts you should know and what facts you should not know.
And I
so
want
thank you for
everybody
that.
To know that this is Sister Muba Yara Fulani, and she is a warrior for community control of public education.
Monies, etc.
And a strong advocate and supporter of political prisoners always. And I thank
and
you for
also,
calling.
And also, Sister Betty, and the mayor of control. Control.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that, Sister Betty.
All right. We want to move right along. We're calling 5925. The last four digits are 5925. Did you want to make a comment?
How you doing, Sister Betty? Warrior Betty and Warrior Ralph, how are you this evening? I just want to echo the same sentiments of Mama Muba. Yes, definitely water is a life force, and we can't live without water. And it's just it's horrific, the gameplay that continues, the same atrocities that continue across the globe to our people. And you know.
Well, we're talking to Brenda Walker, who is coordinator for Power, Operation Power. I think that Charles Barron has two events coming up. Do you happen to have that information on it?
Yes, but it'll take me a minute to pull it up. I was just sending it out.
Okay, I'll come back to you.
Okay, thank you.
In a few. All right, we want to go to 8672. Brother Joel, did you want to say a few words to us this evening?
Joel, your microphone is open. 8672, Joel, 917-771-8672. Joel. Okay, we're going to have to move on. Call in if you can. Next speaker.
All right, we're going to go back to our political prison report. Sister Ann was gracious enough to hold on while we try to get to the report from Benton Harbor on the strategies that are necessary for Mississippi Jackson, Mississippi, to overcome the colonial attack. Mr. Ann, thank you for waiting. Again, your mic is open.
Oh, thank you so much, Sister Betty. Among many things that are happening, I'd like to remind people that yesterday, February 6th, our dear brother, comrade, and friend, Leonard Peltier, just entered his 48th year of unjust imprisonment. And did send a short statement to his supporters, which I would like to read. It's not long.
Please do.
Greetings, my friends, supporters, and loved ones. I know I've probably said this or things like this many times. Every time I say it, it is as heartfelt as the first time. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you for your support. Living in here, year after year, day after day, week after week, plays on your concepts of time and your process of thought beyond what you can imagine. Every day, I have to say a prayer in the morning about keeping my spirit up and the spirits of our people. The struggles of the American Indian movement, which are the struggles of all of us, have never ended for me. They go on week after week, month after month, year after year. When I speak, sometimes I think I may sound a bit too sensitive, but my love for my people and the love supporters have shown me over the years is what keeps me alive. I don't read your letters with my intellect. I read them with my heart. My imprisonment is just another example of the treatment and policies our people have faced since the arrival of the first Europeans. I'm just an ordinary man, and I come from a live and let live society like all our people. And yet we have had to live in a state of survival ever since Columbus landed. There is nothing about my case, nothing about the Constitution, which is a treaty between the American people and the government, that warrants my continual imprisonment. They have historically imprisoned or killed our people, taken our land and resources. Anytime the law was in our favor, they ignored the law or changed the law to benefit their agenda. After they've gotten what they wanted, a generation later, some politician would apologize. They have never negotiated sincerely with us unless we had something they wanted and they could not take, or we were an embarrassment before the world, or we were some sort of opposition. The opposition has always been the dominant reason for them making treaties with us. I could go on and on about the mistreatment of our people and on about my case, but the United Nations said it, that the United States has kept me locked up because I am an American Indian. The only thing that really makes me different from other American Indians who have been mistreated, had land taken, or been imprisoned by a government is that it is all a matter of court record in my case. The violation of my constitutional rights has been proven in court. The fabrication of every piece of evidence used to convict me has been proven in court. The United Nations itself, comprised of 193 nations, has called for my release, noting that I am a political prisoner. In my case as a political prisoner, there does not have to be a prisoner exchange. The exchange they need to make is from their policy of injustice to a policy of justice. It does not matter what your color and ethnicity are, black, red, white, yellow, brown. If they can do it to me, they can do it to you. Again, I want to say from my heart to your heart, most sincerely, do your best to educate your children. Teach them to defend themselves physically, mentally, and spiritually. Make them aware of our history. Teach them to plant a food forest or any plant that will provide for them in the future. Again, from my heart to yours, plant a tree for me. In the spirit of Crazy Horse, Daksha, Leonard Peltier.
Well, thank you so much for that. And Leonard, thank you for your example of courage. And I know it's difficult in the face of the reality of American black Uncle Tom colonial administrators going around the world, particularly in Africa, talking about freedom and bullying, attempting to bully other people to support American activities, or they will be punished economically as they punish others economically. And thank you, Leonard Peltier, for your demonstration of courage. Thank you, Ann Lamb, for giving us this information. Sister Betty.
Ann Lamb, do you want to give us an update on where people can go if they missed the homegoing for Frankie Valgaro?
Oh, there is a YouTube link. I must go put that up. Let me see if it's still up there. Might be the same one we already have. Hold on just a second. I was not prepared.
We'll come back. We'll go to Brenda, and we'll come right back. All right, Sister Brenda, we're going to try and open up your mic now. Hopefully you can give us the announcement of the two. I think there's two major events, one coming up this Friday for Comrade Charles Barron. Sister Brenda,
yes,
thank you.
Yes.
Turning. Your mic is open.
Yes. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes,
ma'am. We do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let me pull up this first event. I'll tell you about the event on Saturday, and that's Operation Power. That event is dealing with passing the Community Power Act. That's intro number 0463-2022, and that's to stop police brutality. And that's dealing with the Elected Civilian Review Board. You know about the CCRB, but this is an elected civilian review board. And this is on the heels of that horrendous killing of our dear brother, Nichols, that were at the hands of those five police and others, too, that in Memphis. So the event is this Saturday from 12 to 2, and it's a Zoom event, and the meeting ID number is 868-9887-7731. The passcode is 096-439. And there is a dial-in number that's 929-205-6099. Okay, and so now I'm trying to pull up the other. Okay, so the other event, and this is dealing with Black radical politics, and this is also Charles Barron. Council Member Charles Barron, who will be speaking, will be presenting at the Black History Program, and this is going to be in person, also on Zoom, and that's Friday, February 10th at 6 o'clock, and that's dealing with stopping gentrification and explaining socialism. And that's the lecture. That will be, again, on Friday, February 10th, and that will be held at the Magnolia Tree Earth Center. That's 677 Lafayette Avenue in Brooklyn, also available on Zoom. And the meeting ID for this event is 842-7104-3776. And that passcode is 511-758. And the dial-in number is 917-297-2365. I know it's a lot of numbers. I thank you for allowing me to present these two events. Thank you.
And if you want to find out those numbers and you forgot, call.
You can call or text 347-583-5925.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Sister Ann, your mic is open. You want to give us where people can go to share and participate in the wonderful send-off memorial for Frankie?
Thank you. Yes, if you go to jerichoNY.org, there's a link right on the front page to the live stream. Just want to inform people we will be doing some minor editing of that because there were some limitations to the church's sound system, so some things were not hooked up to their sound. But since we had Joe Friendly filming the entire thing, we are going to drop in the pieces that may not be heard too well on the YouTube link. But for the moment, that has not yet been done. But the YouTube link is there. If you go to jerichoNY.org, it's right on the first page. Just click on the link and it'll take you right there.
Okay, thank you.
It was a wonderful tribute to Frankie, I have to say. It was beautiful, full of love. We missed you, Ralph. We knew you couldn't walk the stairs, but we missed you. But your presence was felt, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for that. Sister Betty.
Give us a brief report on that. All right. Okay, Brother Joel, your mic is open. Brother Joel.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Yes, we're here.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Hello. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we...
for some reason, gotta get a new phone, I guess. Anyway, it's very important for people to take part in the events that have been announced. It's we're coming up against very, very difficult times, and we see that we're dealing with an enemy now that is a cornered animal. That's what the ruling class is at this stage. They can no longer control things around the world the way that they used to, and that means that it's time that the system is coming to a very mortal crisis for itself, and that means the death of that system means real life for everyone else, and not only real life in the sense of having really human relationships with each other instead of everything being mediated and separated by money and other spiritually ice cold things, but also the very human survival depends on it, as we can see what's happening with the environmental crisis and everything else that's out of control, being driven by blind greed, and we have to have that power to be able to control our own lives individually and collectively. And unfortunately, there's been a certain lull in activity over the last decade or so, but it's got to come back to a height that hasn't been experienced yet in this country. It has to be greater than what we remember in the 60s and everything else, because we have to have a real revolution. And it can't be done just by a handful of dedicated people. That handful has to grow into the multitudes. It's like the Bible story that that yes, you could see people with I forget what it was. I think 3 loaves of bread and a fish and so on. What that really means is that putting the ideas out will make them grow. Revolutionary ideas, again, real, just human ideas. We're not having, if people are not thinking in terms of revolution right now, they're really out of touch with their own humanity, and enslaved by the brainwash of the media, especially with the introduction of television, which gives people created false experiences in which it feels like you're witnessing with your eyes and your ears something that's going on, but actually a distortion that means that we're not witnessing what's really going on. If we get too much influenced by those TV screens that bend and twist reality and create a collective and individual mental illness in accepting this very sick and very deadly capitalist, racist, sexist system that again revolves around that ice cold money and converts everything into the same. So it's so good to listen to these broadcasts and these calls every week, and seeing that people are thinking very deeply, and people are really this is a place where there really is no other forum like this going on anywhere except on Tuesday and Wednesday night that people are listening to right now. And it's so refreshing and so important. But we have to also get into the activities that can make the real the real changes. People are subjected to a situation where we have to wake up or we'll never wake up. Thank you for the opportunity to take part.
Well, thank you so much for that, Joel Myers. It's a heartfelt a cry for us to join, to work for the liberation and freedom of people. We know what those words really mean. We talk about them in truth. And when we refer to the Bible, maybe we are the disciples of a just world, a just and equitable world. And this is what we must work for. And we are not crying out in the wilderness. We are crying out in the midst of people so that we will never be in a wilderness. Sister Betty.
All right. I want to thank Brother Sierra of the African People's Socialist Party for alerting us to a story that's unfolding right now in Mississippi. And we have Cheryl Potts, Commander, Black Panther Party, Cheryl Potts, who's going to give us a summary of an ongoing struggle against fascism and racism on behalf, on the part of the Army of Occupation in Mississippi. Cheryl Potts, your mic is open, and thank you for getting on.
Yes, ma'am. Happy to hear from you all. Well, we're dealing with a case. The young man name is Michael Jenkins, Michael Corey Jenkins. He's 31 years old from Rankin County, Mississippi. If anybody is aware, Rankin County is one of our most racist counties here. And this event happened on the 23rd of January. Michael was shot in the mouth. He was tortured for about 2 hours, where they waterboarded him, picking at him, kicking him, slapping him, tasing him, pointing guns, putting them to the guns to their head, and in their mouth, on their mouth, until one of the officer's guns went off, and they ended up shooting Michael in the mouth.
Commander Potts, we're talking about the police, the Army of Occupation Police in Mississippi.
Franklin County, Mississippi.
All right, continue.
Yes, ma'am. So until one of the officers' guns went off and it ended up shooting Michael in the mouth. We're going to do a news conference on the 13th, February 13th, at the University of Mississippi Medical Center, where Mr. Michael Jenkins is currently laying in a hospital bed now with a trach, also a feeding tube from that, and having to try to cough up blood that went into his lungs for about 2 weeks approximately. His family was not even able to see him. They wouldn't allow him to be seen or given a medical update. We had to get a bail bondsman about 3 days ago to get a release so they could relieve Rankin County from jurisdiction over him, where his family was able to lay eyes on him, because no matter what they did, whether they called the hospital to see was Michael breathing, was he okay, was he improving, they got nothing until we got a bail bondsman and they released Michael from Rankin County Police Department custody. And what was so baffling is the same people that went into this young man's home, not catching him on the street, but into his home and harassed him and tortured him all that time were the same people that had to watch over him and not allow his family access to him. Besides, when he first went in, they thought he was not going to make it. So I'm sorry.
If I understand correctly, he was shot in a private residence, and it was a deliberate, prolonged hostage taking and illegal interrogation, whatever the hell that means in Mississippi, by Rankin County cops. And it was six white cops using acts of waterboarding detaining two men. All right, continue.
So now we have it where his family is able to lay eyes on him, even though we had to go through all these hoops and hurdles in order to do so. But he is improving. He was able to give us thumbs up and, you know, try to smile for to take a picture. He's not able to be verbal because his mouth is wired shut. He tries to heal. So I'm just trying to keep everybody updated. Hopefully we'll have an even better update Monday after our press conference. But we will be sticking by this young man and his family. And the other young man, he was tortured as well, but not as severe as Mr. Michael.
Now, I understand the Black Lawyers for Justice and the attorney Malik Z. Shabazz and state attorneys will represent, along with activists and organizers, to support Michael Jenkins. Did you want to say more about that?
Yes. Attorney Malik Z. Shabazz, he is coming here to try to fight against this racist legal system that we do have in the state of Mississippi, because a lot of the lawyers here, even though they skin color look like ours, they have black skin with white hearts. So they're not just for the people. They say that they are, you know, but they'll side with those white cops and just try to, you know, get them away from certain things and kind of water it down. But I do know with Mr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, he is one that fights fire with fire. And with a case like this, that's what we need. He's not afraid. He's flying in and coming to step on these people neck.
Now, is there a contact information that you want to give our listeners?
Yes, if they would like any type of information, they can email Black Lawyers for Justice.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
Black Lawyers for
Black
Justice.
Black Lawyers
for Justice. F-O-R. Justice. At attorney. Dot Shabazz. That is S-H-A-B-A-Z-Z. At yahoo.com. Or they can contact myself.
Okay. Did you want to give us your contact information again? And I am concerned for your safety because you're stepping out in front of this. But give us your contact information.
Yes, it's 404-552-1109.
Okay. And we are asking for, when we call that number, we are asking for?
We are asking for support, please support, and standing with these families and be willing to stand up with these families. We're in a day and age right now. We shouldn't be dealing with this in 2023. And I was told,
Mrs. Cheryl Putz, and this is who we will be looking for at 404-552-1109. And the other number, Black Lawyer for Justice, at attorneyshabazz at yahoo.com. And my brothers and sisters, you think this is only for Mississippi, but let me remind you with the Central Park jogging situation where the five young black kids were arrested and the Army of Occupation in New York City did not allow their parents to see them or speak to them. And I forget the number of hours the parents went to the police station or the Central Command of the Army of Occupation, and still there was no response to allow parents to see kids. And we have this all over the country in Queens, New York. A case was brought to Lynn Stewart where a young man was kept by the Army of Occupation. His mother was not able to see him because the Army of Occupation said he was a witness. Of course, when they came to Lynn Stewart, she dealt with that instantly. And where is our brother Ralph Shulman asked us and screamed out so many times, where are the lawyers? Where are the lawyers? Well, there's a very few of the lawyers who dare to challenge the system, who dare to say that people of color should have access to justice in the courts. And I could go on and on. But Sister Betty.
Commander Potts, we want to thank you for giving us this update, and to Brother Dennis, who is not with us this evening, but made it possible for us to get this report. And again, watch your back. We are concerned for you. I want to the comrades involved with the political business an opportunity, if they wanted to say something else about our brother, who urgently needs our assistance, or if they wanted to comment on anything. I'm opening up the mics now. Hopefully there won't be any background echoes. Open up as many mics as possible.
And I want you all...
My name and all that stuff in. And then it went...
You didn't put a password in? Yeah.
Okay, well, let me do that.
All right, I guess we're going to have to close some of the mics.
And I want folks to remember, tomorrow night, 99.5 on your FM dial, WBAI. Call in. Listen to what we are trying to do. Also, we remain free, and if you're a dollar, to 1-212-209-2950, contribute to Ralph Pointer and Betty Davis, what's happening, because we have a lot to tell you. And Mr. Betty is looking up tomorrow night's program, and please tune in.
Actually, the reality is we are preempted tomorrow, but next week we will be having our regular program on Wednesday evenings in addition to our Tuesday Blog Talk Radio program. And next week we will be analyzing and discussing the whole issue of what does the reparations really mean. Sister Ann, did you want to say the information about our brother Siddiqui again?
Kamal Siddiqui deserves our support, and we must go to the Jericho website and get the information to support our brother who is in the death camp. And if you don't have that number, I will repeat it right now. And the number is 706-855-4700. That's Freddie Hilton, 00-115-0688. And He deserves our support. Let us come through with our phone call to support our loyal brother.
We want to thank the people who got on about the special announcement, especially in New York. We've got to represent for Charles. He stood up for our political prisoners. We have to stand up for him. Thank you, everybody.
Good night, and much love, my brothers and sisters. Hopefully, inshallah, God willing, we will be back next week. Night, God day. Ralph Poyter, Betty Davis, what's happening?
Tuesday, February 14th.